We enter fully into the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ, along with Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, which according to the saints, she was crucified in her heart. All that our Lord was suffering, the Blessed Virgin Mary was suffering also. There's a golden principle which is going to lead us during today's retreat, today's conferences. It's a golden principle. Which is the following. The following principle. It is Saint Bernard. So he says, Jesus on the cross suffered more from compassion for his mother than from his own torments. He thus speaks in the name of our Blessed Lady. So our Lord speaks in the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, I stood with my eyes fixed on him, and he's on me, and he grieved more for me than for himself. And then, speaking of Mary beside her dying son, he says that she lived dying without being able to die. So this golden principle, Saint Bernard, is that the greatest pain of our Lord on the Passion and Death was to see his mother. Something that we don't reflect enough, but this is the principle which should move us the most to stay with her, to console her. Just think about the theological principle. So, sorrow is in proportion to love. So this is the first premise. Second premise. Our Lord loved the Blessed Virgin Mary more than all saints and angels put together. So therefore, his greatest sorrow was the sorrow of Mary, so to see Mary like that. We are speaking about our Lord himself. So this is why we insist that the message of Fatima, the most important revelation of Fatima was that one. That his number one intention of our Lord, his most important intention, it's not the saints, it's not the conversion of sinners, it's not something purgatory, no. The most important intention of our Lord is to repair, to console the Blessed Virgin Mary. This should be preached everywhere, but it's not preached this point. So finally our Lord was able to tell us by the five Saturdays devotion, making it very easy. Just if we do five times, he promised heaven, basically. Like saying, it's too much it's a great value. You do it because it's time you console my mother. I am in you and I am able to console her. So this is the point. So each time that we do something for the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's a supernatural action. You should know that. So it's impossible to do something at the supernatural level, like consoling Mary, without the grace of God. And therefore, without God participating in that action. So God wants to spend his life on earth with us, consoling Mary. So along those lines is the fourth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin. The fourth sorrow is on that line. That you have to distinguish. In the Middle Ages, the fourth sorrow was the scourging of the pillar. But now, since last centuries, has been the meeting between Our Lady and Our Lord. So both are tremendous, no? Both. We can meditate both of them. But first, Our Lady meeting Our Lord on the way to the cross. Remember, all the actions, St. Paul says that all the actions of Our Lord, Our Lady, are intended to be a teaching for us. So, Our Lord said, "He who wants to be my disciple, deny thyself, take up your cross and follow me." And literally, it's what was happening with Our Lady, her whole life, especially in that moment of the way of the cross, the station of the cross. So she was following the step of Our Lord, that we may go also forward with our cross. And remember, this is something that we forget because we lack foundations, doctrinal foundations, we lack hope and faith and charity. So, the cross is one. The cross of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and ours is the same cross. This is a golden principle. Each time we despise our cross, we despise our Lord's cross and our Blessed Mother's cross and tears. This is the greatest wisdom of the cross, is to realize that. So, the better way to show our love for our Lord, for our families, is precisely carry our cross. It's the golden moment of the day. The suffering, the humiliation, the darkness, the anguish, the sadness, the depression, whatever it be, the injustice done to us. It's the golden moment of the day. The most important grace of the day. A modern man is the opposite. Suffering is the worst of the day. Humiliation is the worst of the day. Injustice is the worst coming from my family members, my friends. No, it's the opposite. It's terrifying to see how our holy doctrine has been twisted 180 degrees. Twisted. Completely twisted. So, because we saw yesterday, love is to give. So I didn't finish really because I have the other ideas, but when we say that we are here to give, we are speaking about faith, hope, and charity. So we receive it the day of our baptism, and from that day on, we are here on earth just to give continually to God a life of great faith, hope, and charity, complete. So the first commandment deal has to do with faith, hope, and charity. So when our Lord said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength, all your time, everything you have," he's referring to our life of faith, hope, and charity. Yes, because when we speak about love, it implies faith and hope. Because faith is the foundation, is the condition by which love lives. Without faith, never will be true love, never. So when we speak about not compromising the faith, that goes against the fifth commandment, that goes against grace, against love, against the gospel, against our promises of the baptism. We cannot compromise the faith at all, one inch, one millimeter. When we speak yesterday that we have to give, so means solid faith, no compromising faith, 100%. Means that we have hope, completely hope in our Lord and no in creatures. Even if it seems that we are starving, We don't have food for tomorrow. Doesn't matter. We have to wait in God's mercy, God's promises, God's power. We are not trusting in men. We are trusting in God. This is with our whole heart, even. So all that has to do with faith, hope, and charity has to be with all our might. So faith is to be to defend and to profess the divine religion. I told you, if we compromise 1%, means that God is not God, so we lose the faith. Is it why we are not exaggerating when we are saying this is PX? No, no anymore this is PX. It's not just exaggeration, it's not imprudence, it's not human opinion. No, this is faith. It's the nature of divine faith. Also, hope obliges each one of us to trust in the Blessed Virgin Mary in our Lord. No, in my pity, my little resources, and my friends and my family. Even we don't trust in those things. Even in my youth, we don't trust in those things. We trust in our Lord, our Lady. Hope is supernatural. We are here to trust in Mary and Jesus. Our Lord said, seek after my kingdom and his justice. Precisely, all the divine things of our holy religion, especially faith, hope, and charity, and his justice, which is holiness, the Holy Ghost. And the rest will be added upon you. The rest, whatever else is, will be given to you. God's way. That is the problem with the people of today. We want our way. No. God's way, which is the way of the cross. That is the problem. We don't love the cross. This is doctrine has been taken away from us since Vatican II completely. And we have been affected because we see our friends, our families, even these traditional faith resistance people, fleeing from the cross, compromising the faith, not hoping in our Lord, in our hoping in their own strength, in the numbers, in what they have. Loving with conditions. Loving according to their human petty considerations, human limitations. It's horrible. Believe me, it's really horrible what is going on, even in tradition. So this meditation should move us to realize that we are following the footsteps of our Lord and the Blessed Mother. And the greatest pain of our Lord was to see his mother like that. This is why the greatest grace is to console Mary and to be dedicated to her. Consoling with a strict, complete faith, hoping in her, only in her, and loving her, Jesus through her, along with St. Joseph and the saints. This should be obvious, but it's not obvious. This is the problem. This is not, it's not anymore preach. It's not follow. I want you to notice this because we are losing faith and hope because this, the cross is not our way. It's not our way. The cross is not our way. We want to go away with it. This is different. So our Blessed Mother, therefore, she accompanied our Lord to Calvary. And so we have to read something else beautiful about that, which is as soon as our Lord as soon as our agonized Redeemer had reached the Mount of Calvary, the executioners stripped him of his clothes and piercing his hands and feet. with not with sharp but with blunt nails, as Saint Bernard says, to torment him more, they fastened him on the cross. Having crucified him, they planted the cross and thus left him to die. The executioners left him, but not so Mary. She then drew nearer to the cross to be present at his death. The Blessed Virgin revealed to Saint Bridget, I did not leave him, but I stood nearer to the cross. So some Bonaventure asked, but what did it avail thee? What did it avail thee, O Lady, to go to Calvary? And himself answered, Saint Bonaventure, thy heart did not then think of its own sorrows. I say again, because it's what we have to imitate. Thy heart did not then think of its own sorrows, but of the sufferings and death of thy dear son. And therefore thou wouldst thyself be present, at least to compassionate him. So Our Lady forgot about herself. It's why, again, Our Lord wants us to console him, because Our Lady was focused in consoling our Lord. Yes. And our Lord died without consoling her. But his last words were, Son, behold thy mother. So it's our job to console her. So our Lord through us. This is, I tell you, it's the greatest secret, the greatest revelation concerning devotion to Mary. Completely what Saint Louis de Montfort said, because Saint Louis de Montfort, when he wrote the book of Friends of the Cross, what he said, he laid the principles. He said, it's impossible to say that you love Christ if you don't love the cross. The cross and our Lord, they go together. If you say that you love our Lord but you don't love the cross, you are a liar. It is the same for the Blessed Virgin Mary. True devotion to Mary means that we are loving the cross of Mary, of our Lord. And we care. Therefore, we quit sin as much as we can with our intentions, with all our might, but also we run in the commandments, run in the consolation of Mary and in the good works, so that our Lord will live in us, that we may live no us anymore, our Lord in us, especially to console Mary. It's what San Alfonso María Ligori says. Our Lord did not console Our Lady before dying. Mm-hmm. He left that to us to do it. To Saint John and to us, Saint Joseph. So this is one of the greatest things that we can have on earth, you know. Who can ever could imagine that we could do something for Our Lady, no? We can. If we do that, it's enough. We can die. I think we can say, well, like Simon, Lord, you can let thy servants die in peace, because we have seen the great grace of God, the coming of our Lord. But in this case also, we have seen the great grace of being able to do something for the Blessed Virgin Mary, to console her. It's the greatest work on earth, I tell you. To console Mary is greater than to save souls, than to convert souls, than even to preach, than even to become a priest. So, because the Blessed Virgin Mary is all, it's enclosed in her everything. So in such a way, what we do for her, we do it in a highest degree with, for our Lord and for our friends, for our families. Even if we are not priests, even if you are not having mass, Even if you don't have communion, just by doing this, you are doing the highest possible amount of graces towards your families. Because we are touching the roots of all graces, the root of which is the cross and Our Lady together. It's the source and the origin of all reasons why our Lord came on earth and why we can be saved. It's because Our Lady and the Holy Cross together are available to us to reach those graces. The ordinary means is Mass, yes. And the sacraments, the ordinary, and prayer, the ordinary means. But we are in extraordinary times. We don't have ordinary means. So therefore we have to go to the extraordinary means, which is the source of all graces, the cross. We have to love the cross. In this crisis of the church, if we don't love the cross, we are gone. It's done. It's the only solution. It's the only way. It's the only key to open heaven. It's Saint Louis de Montfort again in the Friends of the Cross. There is no other key to open heaven than the cross, our own cross, united to our Lord's cross and Our Lady's cross. So this is applied to Saint Alfonso, applies to Our Lady when it's said in the Isaiah, I have trodden the winepress alone. I looked about and there was none to help. I sought and there was none to give aid. But who among men would console him since all were enemies? Even on the cross he was taunted and blasphemed by on all sides. And this is St. Matthew. And they that passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. And some said to his face, if thou be the Son of Man, come down from the cross. And others, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And again, if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. And our Blessed Lady herself said to St. Bridget, I heard some say that my son was a thief, others that he was an impostor, others that no one deserved death more than he did. And every word was a new sword of grief to my heart. But that which the most increased the sorrow which Mary endured through compassion for her son was hearing our Lord saying on the cross to his eternal Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Words which the Divine Mother told to the same Bridget, that she could never during her whole life depart from her mind those words. Why? Because the afflicted mother saw her Jesus suffering on every side, even on the side of God the Father, no helping him in that moment. And she decided to comfort him, and she could not do it. Why? Because of our sins. It's a great mystery. So you see, it's an obligation. It's not just something great, but it's an obligation to do it. Remember the fourth commandment also. No, here's the first commandment, but also the fourth commandment, which is to honor your father, to love your mother, your father. And it's what I told you, the Ecclesiastical said, if you see your mother on tears and you do nothing for her, you are an apostate. You have lost your faith, basically. You are, it's a mortal sin, I will say. Mortal sin. You see your mother crying and you do nothing. So omission will be a mortal sin, yes. Of course. Yes, of course. That which grieved her the most was to see that she herself, by her presence and sorrow, increased highly the sufferings of Jesus. St. Bernard says, the grief which filled Mary's heart as a torrent flowed into the embittered heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are saying, yes. When our Lord suffered for his mother, what a great sorrow. And our Lord told Blessed Baptista Barani, so he said, our Lord said, assured her that when, so to this saint, our Lord said that on the cross, so great was his affliction as seeing his mother at his feet in so bitter an anguish, that compassion for her caused him to die without consolation. Again, that compassion for her caused him to die without consolation. That's it, our Lord's solitude, the necessity. So our Lord died without sorrow in his heart. Mary was bitter in great anguish. Died like that, our Lord, without remedy, without putting a remedy. So notice that every day somewhere there is Mass, real Mass still. So this event is going on still. Our Lord dying at Mass without compassion, without sin, our Lady be consoled. Imagine that. So he sheds his blood for us and we don't repair. We don't console, we don't accompany, we don't stop sinning. So much so that the Blessed Baptista, being supernaturally enlightened as to the greatness of this suffering of Jesus, exclaimed, "O Lord, tell me no more about this sorrow of yours, for I can no longer bear it." And Simon of Cassia, who then saw this mother silent and not uttering a complaint in the midst of so great suffering, were filled with astonishment. But if Mary's lips were silent, her heart was not so, for she incessantly offered the life of her son to the divine justice for our salvation. Therefore, we know that by the merits of her dolors and cooperated in our birth to the life of grace, and hence we are the children of her sorrows. We are the children of her sorrows. So you see, we still think that we deserve something better. It's a lack of humility. So what else we need? You know, the modern man Christ was pleased that she, the cooperatrix of in our redemption, of whom he was determined to give us for our mother, that should be there present. For it was at the foot of the cross that she was to bring us her children forth. So how much pain we have given to Our Lady, each one of us. And Our Lord is telling us, just repair your mother, no? Console her. If any consolation enter the sea of bitterness, the heart of Mary, the only one, was this, that she knew that by her sorrows she was leading us to eternal salvation. As our Lord also revealed to St. Bridget, he said, "My mother Mary, on account of her compassion and love, was made the mother of all in heaven and on earth. So yes, we are born to grace thanks to her sorrows, because she's a redemptrix. And indeed, these were the last words which Jesus bid her farewell before his death. This was his last recommendation, leaving us to her for her children in the person of St. John. Woman, behold thy son. And St. Peter Damian says that by the praise of Mary, who stood between the cross of the good thief and that of her son, the thief was converted and saved, and thereby she repaid a former service. Because according to tradition, in that journey to Egypt, the good thief had helped them on that journey a great deal. So, brother, yes, this is very important. And this is why we enter into the fifth sorrow, which is our Lord dying on the cross. That we have to die with our Lord and with our Lady together. So, that's the meaning of St. Paul of baptism, no? We have died to ourselves, to the world, to the devil. And this life is precisely the mass, it's our mass. So we should live every day as we were at mass. This is the spirituality of the Catholic Church. This is the heart of our Catholic religion. So we must be at the mass, present at mass, 24 hours. If possible, were possible, no? With Mary, what she was doing in St. John's house, she was preparing. She would walk, thinking about Mass, thinking about the sorrows, and preparing for Mass, and after Thanksgiving, after Mass. So if she's at Mass, and we, by faith we are at Mass, we can be at Mass. Spiritual Mass, spiritual communion. Why we will need be physically present if we don't have it available? This is the question. Why we will be sorrowful, so sad at not being present to physically at Mass, where we know that we are united with the Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord by faith, hope and charity, at every Mass which is celebrated. Because this is the center of our religion. So why is to grieve so much? You know? It's a lack of faith and hope. Yes, it's being undermined. As I told you yesterday, it's because the mindset of the SSPX and many others, that they see as the greatest grace on earth the sacraments. No. Mm-mm. It's the cross and the Blessed Virgin. It's the source. The source of all graces is to the love of the cross, the love to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to live a Mass spiritually every day. With perfect contrition, spiritual communion every minute if possible. And therefore, thinking in the Passion, associating myself to the Passion of our Lord, our Lady, every moment. This is to be Catholic. This is to be Catholic. So if I am physically at Mass or not, it should to be not the most important, because I am at Mass by faith, hope, and charity every moment. Because Mass is in present tense. So this is the difference between the Novus Ordo Mass, one of the differences. But Novus Ordo Mass is past tense. So they already modified the intention of the Church by having past tense consecration. There you had the invalidity. Of course, we had to wait for the Pope to declare it. But for basic theology, if you modify the intention of the church, you don't have sacrament anymore. You have to have the intention that the church always has had. So the intention of Mass is to perform the sacrifice of our Lord in present tense. It's the presence, present tense. Novus Ordo is past tense. Past tense. A memory. Lutheran memory. That is enough to say there is nothing in Novus Ordo. Nothing. On the contrary, because try to replace the real Mass is diabolical. Because people think that they go to Mass, there is something there at least. No, nothing. On the contrary. Something diabolical trying to replace something divine. This is the new Mass. Nothing there. Nothing. It's past tense. Past tense. It's like looking at a movie. It's like a show. It's like looking at a movie. Novus Ordo and the movie of Mel Gibson is the same. No, it's better than the movie. Because the movie shows the blood, yes. Much better. No, much better, of course. It's not, and it's good. The movie is good. It's one of the only few movies that's good. No. Imagine. The movie is much better than the Novus Ordo Mass, imagine. It's a fact. Mel Gibson did a better job than Paul VI. It's amazing. No? So just reflect about this, please. Reflect, because Our Lady is at the foot of the cross. And it's on the cross that we saw yesterday. Really, it's on the cross. We had the Red Cross. We're on the cross also. It's our daily life is to be on the cross with our Lord, our Lady, like the saints. So it should be our daily food. Now you are precisely looking the strength. What to do about your life? What will your resolutions? You have to start writing resolutions. Yes. The day before, you don't think about yet the end of the retreat. Don't think it's forbidden to think about, hey, the retreat is up. No. Now in the summit of the retreat, which is the Passion and Death of our Lord. So you just start making resolutions. Write down. It has to be precise resolutions. Because some committee mistake of doing general resolutions like, I will be better. They do another resolution. And they do nothing because it's too general. No, it has to be precise. For example, suggestions. To meditate on the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ. To meditate on the Mass every day. To do Our Lady of Sorrows, the Seven Sorrows, or the Our Lady of Solitude, yes, every day. just start doing this. To cut ties with sin completely. That friend, that girlfriend, or that book, those pictures. That gossip or those entertainments which make me lost time, you know, like internet and idle conversations and idle activities. Of course, recreation is important, but has to be, there are many sound recreation, no? Very sound. So start making also resolutions. And usually you have to show the priest your resolutions to be sure that you are checked and forced to do something really good, no? Because also it's important to be checked, because if you are not checked, if you are not reviewed, you may be sneaking your own way and, hey, I will do whatever, I will do whatever to improve. No, you have to do specific resolutions. So we start with the meditation.